Welcome to the Voice of Destiny show with your host, Dr. Daniel Hawk, where kingdom information and revelation is power to be, do, and have everything God has destined for you. For more information about Voice of Destiny or to order copies of today's show, visit our website at voiceofdestiny.org. That's voiceofdestiny.org. And become a fan on Facebook or follow us on Twitter under the name of The VOD Show.
Welcome, brothers and sisters, to the Voice of Destiny show. If you just tuned in, you're listening to a prophetic and provocative conversation that we're having here about not just forgiveness, but power to overcome sexual sins. And we are dealing on with the issue or the question that we're asking under this heading, is sex a gift? Or is it a weapon of mass destruction? And I want to talk about, in this context, about what we that now know, that sex is an authentic gift from God, but if it's not properly used as a weapon of mass destruction, let's talk about what we as individuals need to do to maximize the potential of the gift of sex in our life. And I wanted to ask Dr. Dew to lead us in that conversation. Mm-hmm. And even while we're talking, to pick up some of the interesting things that you have in your book titled Don't Say a Word About This, by Dr. Dew, that exposes and confronts the sexual perversion that's not just in the body of Christ, but it's in the world.
Yes.
Because as kingdom citizens, we understand God is not just concerned about the temple.
That's
He's
right.
concerned about the whole world. You know, yeah. God so loved the world. He so loved the cosmos, all the order, you know, not only the people, but the systems that order and manage the world. Mm-hmm. God so loved this that He sacrificed His Son, Jesus. And so a lot of times we don't get into issues that are non-temple issues because we think God's not concerned about the other aspects of this world. When Jesus shed His blood for the world,
yes.
and Jesus shed His blood for us to walk in wholeness, and one of the issues that we're seeing, not only in the church, but in the whole society, is the misuse of the gift of sex. Do you know that that the sex industry profits about $10 billion every year?
Mm-hmm.
Because off of people's ignorance about the gift of sex. And I want to know from you, Dr. Dew, you know, what should we do about that? Well, how do we realize God's potential and not become victims of this industry that's destroying the lives of many?
Well, when you say victims, now, I think we can use what we need from the industry, but not all the other stuff, and I absolutely agree with you.
Okay.
The thing that I would really encourage married couples, if you wanted to start there, to do and I would dare say very few have done this. When your husband comes home tonight, ask him to sit with you and actually read through the Book of Songs of Solomon.
Wow.
And you play the bride's role and have him play the role of Solomon.
Mm. Wow.
And if you and then kind of play the parts of the go through the different parts, but in there he talks about the parts of the body, and he really, there and even in the Proverbs, he talks about this. The breasts are very important to him,
mm-hmm.
and in there he talks about what you should really, talks to the man, to love your wife and to enjoy her breasts.
Mm-hmm.
He makes a point not to enjoy some other woman's breasts.
Mm-hmm. That's important.
And so I would encourage you to try this if you've never done it. I rather doubt that you've sat down and gone through Songs of Solomon together as a couple. That's the first thing.
And I think that's important because what it's going to do is destroy a lot of religious thinking
yes.
that we have around the use of this gift. And, you know, all creation is crying out for the manifestation of the sons of God.
Yes.
And when we're armed with the knowledge of God's word about this incredible gift, then it allows us to come up and grow up in our spiritual manhood
mm-hmm.
over this area, this gift that God's given us.
Well, see, and because we have not had this knowledge, that's why there's so many people with the wondering eyes
yeah.
in the church, husbands, wives, pastors, etc., teachers. And so now when you realize what an incredible thing you have between the two of you, you will then be able to value that. But more importantly, it's now the people around you can start to understand their roles
mm-hmm.
and to know their place. And that's where the scripture that I would really, maybe we'll do that in the next segment, but really talk about is the book of Proverbs.
Mm-hmm.
And that book gives such incredible wisdom. I talk about that a lot in my book. I really, because that, again, the ignorance that's in the church, there's no call for it.
Mm-hmm.
If you think about Acts, the I can't remember the exact chapter. I want to say the 28th chapter. But in there, in Acts, he says that he does not wink at ignorance any longer. Mm-hmm. It's gone.
Yeah.
So the time of ignorance, there's no more excuses for it, because we all can read. We all, and if we can't read, get somebody to read for you, and read Songs of Solomon, then read Ecclesiastes, and then go to Proverbs. And Proverbs is not only for the husband and wife, but that is for you to give instruction to your sons and to your daughters. Mm-hmm. And there just happens to be 31 of those Proverbs that you can read one each day.
Yes. Wow.
And there just happens to be 31 days in quite a few months, so you have a day to read it. And you can read it over and over again. The wisdom that's there, each time I read it, and I've been reading it over and over for probably some 20, 30 years, and I get insight. I mean, it's like I can almost quote it, but it's not even that. When you allow the Holy Spirit to now do this, and you're reading at a different level, you're not just reading for reading's sake, but you're reading the food that feeds your body. That's our real food.
Wow.
See, we are a spirit, and we live in a body.
Mm-hmm.
But most people are a body, and they have a spirit, and they have a soul, and they allow those things to control. But no, our spirit man is the key, and that's where this reading of this Proverbs will be food for that spirit, so that it can grow, and you can have a wonderful, enriched sexual life. It should be full. It should be glorious.
Yes.
Each day with your mate.
Now, I want to mention the fact that Solomon, he seems to be very captured about the whole romantic and the sexual aspect of his relationship with women. And we know that Solomon himself had hundreds of wives for diplomatic purposes. For diplomatic purposes, he married these women to create diplomatic relationships with the nations that they were from, to be able to acquire trade routes that allowed him to be what he is, which reminds us of how many times in our society people use the sex industry, you know, as a way of marketeering. And so there's some real issues around this that we need to begin to deal with the church about, us making sure that we communicate and relate to the gift of sex in the body of Christ in such a way that we are bringing a correction, not filthy lucre, to the whole idea of this gift and the purposes that God established for it.
You know, you're so right about Solomon and having those wives. Now, that, for you listening, that's not for you today. You don't want to go out now and get a bunch of women, a bunch of concubines.
Yeah,
that's not appropriate. Yeah, that's not appropriate. Or do as they do over in a state next to Colorado. There's a state over there where they had, and even down in the bottom corner of Colorado,
some of
that's going on. But no, we are to have the husband of one wife.
Yes.
Yeah.
Paul enumerates that very clearly.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the sexual industry, they do make billions of dollars. They're a mega industry.
Yeah.
And so, no, you don't want to get involved. You don't want to be a sex worker. You don't want to...
a sex entrepreneur?
You never, no. Or any of that nonsense. But the things that are good that relate to God, you can pull that out and use that. And use it for his glory. But all the other stuff, we'll talk about that little, some of the perversion. No, we want to leave that alone, because then you don't want to get into that bondage. It's because of bondage. That's all it is. It's just bondage. And because the glory of God is taken out of it. That's the real problem. That's the whole crutch.
Well, we're going to take a destiny break right here, and we'll come back talking about not just forgiveness, but power to overcome sexual sins. This is a gift of God for the saints. These sessions, these talks, they're critical to protect your inheritance in the kingdom. We'll be right back.
If you're enjoying this prophetic and provocative conversation, give thanks with me for our monthly voice partners who help us to carry the gospel of Jesus' kingdom culture to our generation. You too can become a distinguished monthly voice partner with a partnership gift of $15 to $45 a month. Our partners receive a monthly voice package that empowers them to be, do, and have everything God has destined for them. You too can become a monthly voice partner. Just go to the partners page at voiceofdestiny.org. That's voiceofdestiny.org. And register today as a monthly voice partner to keep the Voice of Destiny show in your community.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. It's been a great pleasure to have you to join this conversation with us, because being a sexual illiterate in the kingdom of God is dangerous to your internal inheritance, your kingdom inheritance, when we don't know what God wants us to know about sex. This is very critical for us in the body of Christ today, because, you know, the societies like the city of Corinth that we live in right now, it's really operated on the premise and the thesis of, what do you believe about sex? What do you believe? I mean, even in the selection of the Supreme Court justice, it really is a question. What do you believe about sex? And what you believe about sex is more important than a child in the womb. It's more important than any position or any power, any money to the society. It's more important. And that's what it's all about. You know, when we deal with the abortion issues and we deal with other misuse of sex issues, it's really about who is going to be the deity of the land. Is it going to be Jesus Christ, or is it going to be some fallen demon perpetrating himself as God? And so we have brought in an expert, Dr. Dew, to help us to walk through these things. You know, how do you see sex affecting society, and what are some of the things you put in your book that will help us to be more literate and not illiterate when it comes to this gift of sex?
Well, one of the things that we start out with, we talk about sexual abuse, which, as you've heard my story that happened to me at a young age, but we talk about sexual abuse and that the fact that the child, the young person, is never, never at fault.
Mm-hmm.
And that this whole thing that goes on, it's typically because of a man or woman, they're just plain out lust for sex and to release themselves. So we get into that, and then we talk about the spirit of rape, because typically the sexual abuse goes, rape goes with it, as what happened to me, and the person didn't ask to have this, they didn't want it. And so they were taken advantage of and basically violated. And so that whole spirit, and what I've discovered, it's not only physical rape, but then typically what will go with that is the spiritual rape that goes with it, as well as some other types of things that happen, violations in our society. So we deal with that, and then the thing, again, for me was the incest, and having been able to research back to 1852 about my family. Now, you have to understand, this book is not about me, so there's going to be a book coming out pretty soon that will share some very incredible details that will be a blessing to others. But this book is about concepts. So we deal with the abuse, the incest, and then we look at it from a point of view, from the victim's point of view, and from the perpetrator's point of view, because many of the perpetrators were violated themselves. Most of them,
that's why they're doing
fact,
it.
Most of them were, and so as a result of that, then we wanted, the Lord said, talk to them, because many of them want to come out of that. They're looking for a way out, but they don't have a way of escape.
So you were introduced to sex. Your introduction to sex was a rape. How does that really affect? We know one of the things is that those that get raped or those that get attacked or become victimized, they go and replicate what was done to them. So how does this, because there are many people listening today, that's how they sexually introduced to them. How does it affect them in other ways, and what should they do about it?
As a young child, since that happened at such a young age, I, in fact, with kids in our neighborhood, acted out all these things. So I was acting out as a young child. And one matter of fact, one of the young men that this was with in my community, he died quite a few years ago of AIDS. And because of that sexualization that happens, there comes an identity crisis. That's one of the major things that comes out of this. And when you're raped by a man raped them, it's like, well, am I really a man, or am I a woman, or am I both?
Right.
Yeah.
And so that is the big issue. And for a woman, that crisis is, well, am I a woman or am I a man? I mean, you know, they're trying to find out their identity. So that creates a real challenge, that without it being checked and there being the deliverance or some kind of healing, this goes on. And the numbers of lesbians and numbers of homosexuals in our society, I believe it's much greater than what people talk about. And I think it's more than just lesbian or homosexual. What it really is bisexual people. Because when you get married and you have a husband or a wife, you're no longer a homosexual or a lesbian, but you become bisexual if you're still liking the same sex.
Wow. Mm.
And we have that in our society, a great number of them.
You know, one of the things that strikes me is that these people that are challenged with same-sex attraction, how physically it changed their body, the way they walk, the way they talk. You would think, you know, if it was, we know that it's not God, but if it was God, you know, I don't think you would see these different ways it changes them as a person. What do you think causes that? Because, I mean, they totally try to take on a technology of personhood that God didn't make them in.
Well, what I believe, and there's one scripture in the Bible that most people don't know, and it's Isaiah, the third chapter. It's verse either 9, 10, or 11, but it talks about that whole thing, the image changing.
Wow.
It's a scripture in the Bible, and I deal with that. So, yes, the Bible covers all of these areas, and men and women who are practicing the same sex, if you note, they always have all of them. They all have a certain look. You can almost tell when they really are heavily entrenched in that whole behavioral practice that person is, as they say, gay or LGBT, I think it is, or whatever those terms are.
Okay.
They are that. And so, yes, that's how I deal with it. It's a spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And I deal with this. Matter of fact, my postulation on this whole thing of being gay, of being homosexual or lesbian, is that it's a spirit that overtakes the child in the womb. And it's further complicated when a mother and father say, I want a son, and they end up having a daughter.
Mm. So when people say that they're born like that, is that where you think that's coming from?
That's where I think it's coming from. It's
they were preoccupied with
a spirit
of that homosexuality, hanging, that luciferic spirit.
That's hanging around.
Wow, that's incredible.
The same for if they say that I want a daughter and a son comes along, and because they're supposedly they're more men or male gender that cross to become male to female than female to male.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that's probably not true. I think it's because it's easier for a man to become a woman than a woman to become a man because of the surgery. But it can be done. We look at the woman that just had the baby, the man that just had the baby made all the change, but he still kept his female parts.
Wow. Well, I got to tell you, I don't think a dress makes a woman or a suit makes a man. You are what you are, so all that dressing doesn't change God's engineering,
it
takes place.
Yeah.
And so it's incredible that the church, we need to deal with these different sexual sins, because all of us were something before we came into Christ.
Yes.
And then, so now people coming in, and their spirit has changed. They're born again in their spirit. Their soul, they got the same brain they had before, the same body. And so once they're in the church, they have these issues that they dealing with, and I'd like for us to talk about how can people handle the same sex attraction issues and people that have opposite sex attractions, and it's overwhelming that they don't feel like they can maintain their temple, their body. What do we need to share with them? Because we are talking about not just forgiveness, we're talking about the power to overcome, and that's where a lot of people have their struggles, is where do they access the power to overcome the drives that they develop from misusing sex before they were in the world or through in their ignorance. We'll be right back.
I do not choose to be a common man. It is my right to be uncommon if I can. I seek opportunity, not security. I do not wish to be a kept citizen, humbled and dulled by having the state look after me. I desire to take the calculated risk, to dream and to build, to fail and to succeed.
YI Institute is an entrepreneur and leadership program for youth that teaches personal leadership, financial literacy, and entrepreneurship. Register your youth today at yicenter.com. That's yicenter.com. And your youth will learn how not to die in poverty, but to have poverty die in them.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. We're in our final session with Dr. Dude about not just forgiveness, but how to overcome sexual sins. And we've covered some very prophetic and provocative issues. And I'm going to ask Minister Keymore, who's been in the studio all this time, to read a scripture that came up in our conversation that I thought was vital for us to be aware of. It's Isaiah, the third chapter, Can you read that for us, Minister Keith? What verse
is it? Yes, I sure will. This is Isaiah, the third chapter, verse 9, and I'm reading out of the Amplified Bible. It says, "Their respecting of persons and showing of partiality witnesses against them. They proclaim their sin like Sodom. They do not hide it. Woe to them, for they have brought evil as a reward upon themselves."
Wow. That's interesting. That's interesting. The whole, your image gets affected by the way you use the gift of sex.
Exactly.
And so let's deal with that, not only just from the same sex attraction, but individuals that have opposite sex attraction, which is what God's pattern is. Mm-hmm. How does it affect their image when they're misusing this gift?
Well, when they're misusing it, let me just talk about when they're using it right.
Okay.
Because we haven't covered this.
Yeah.
But if you look at husbands and wives that have been married for 40, 50, 60 years,
uh-huh.
if you note one thing, they start to look alike.
Yeah,
I don't
they
know
do.
If you've ever
wow.
seen that.
We always talk
and they're
about that.
Using
That's
the
incredible.
Gift more than likely, correct.
Wow.
Whereas these here that have misused the gift and the same sex, they all have that same appearance. It's just, it's that roundness. It's and you know what I'm talking about.
And that, so what that means, if you don't look like your mate, you need to have more sex to perfect your image.
You heard it here on the Voice of Destiny show.
That's good.
Praise God. What are some other interesting things that are in your book that we need to know?
Certainly. But now, one of the things that I think would be a blessing out there, we talk about the something. Lord's just saying I need to mention this. I talk about transvestism, transsexuals, and eunuchs.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
And a lot of people don't realize that Jesus, he actually dealt with the concept of being a eunuch, and he deals with three ways. And I'm not going to, you can read the book, but the point is, can a eunuch be saved? Can a transsexual be saved?
Wow.
Can a person that practices transvestism
you
be
mean,
saved?
You mean, be born again and then continue is what
and
you're
continue
saying?
Being
continue.
Saved. Yes.
Okay, are you going to answer the question? Or
no,
you
I'm not going to answer
the question out there.
Oh, wow. I have one out there.
You need to go by the book.
Definitely.
But it's a good answer. It's an encouragement. No, I think I will answer it. I do want to give that just in case somebody is out there struggling with this whole thing.
Yeah.
And yes, they can be saved. Mm-hmm. Yes, according to the word. It's like when the Lord started having me research this and study and do all this, over 400 books were read for this book.
Wow.
This little book to come out.
Incredible.
Wow. And over probably, I don't know, hundreds of movies have been seen on dysfunctionality.
Mm-hmm.
And then he showed me how to put it together. But the point of eunuchs, that is such a blessing.
Wow.
Because there are eunuchs right here in our society. Wow. We talk about even cannibals. If you're a cannibal, there's hope for you. But that is a sexual thing. It's an obscure sexual perversion,
really?
But it's in
I
the
never
Bible.
Thought, I never thought of cannibalism being associated with that.
But it's in the Word. But we spend some time with prostitution, and that is an area that I really want to share because that we find it in the church today, as and the world, of course, and so we find it in so many ways.
Mm-hmm.
And the spiritual prostitution is the thing in the church, and how we cross that up and we get that all mixed up with stuff. But then the whole practice, you know, I did a program a couple of weeks ago. I was telling Dr. Hopp, I've done several, but this one is on prostitution. And it said, who said that prostitution is illegal, you know, and we go into that. Who told you couldn't be a prostitute? And, you know, I'm not sure what title I used, but the point is we talked about
the
that.
Law.
But the law.
Man.
Right. So, and but yet people practice it, you know, and yet it's talked about in the Bible. There's several. And Rahab is even mentioned in Hebrews, in the Hall of Fame, for her faith.
And we're not endorsing people take that on as a profession.
No.
It's interesting that even the nations are conflicted about it because a lot of places, they actually, having a brothel is legal, but prostitution is illegal. I don't know how you do one without doing
the
other, but
yeah,
even the society.
It's control. It's
their
control.
Their aim is to control it.
Yeah.
And that's when we, again, we start taking what God created
and
trying to supervise it and use it in a way that he never intended.
Absolutely.
You know, I thought before I got married that sex was about doing the deed, you know. But I discovered as a husband, man, the incredible times of healing and intimacy that have come into our lives as a husband and wife as a result of us discovering what the Holy Spirit really intended for us in this gift. And when we're not using this gift the way God wants us, we never get to experience the energy of the Holy Spirit in the act of marriage.
Absolutely.
And when you do that, it takes you to heavenly places you've never been before.
Yes, you know? It does.
And I'm not saying that because I have six kids, you know. My pastor has said, you know, somebody ought to give Dr. Hopper TV because he don't know what to do in his spare time. But, you know, this gift, you know, we need to elevate the aspect of the gift of sex so that we can diminish and cut out and eradicate the perversion and the mass destruction that we see happening in the body of Christ. And so this is our last segment, right?
Yes.
And so we want to, if you had your last words, you had your last word about the gift of sex. What would you say to the body of Christ?
Bottom line, I would say that the pain that many of you are in and the confusion and just whatever state that their questions, to understand that the Lord has told me that pain is not for life and that there is a way to bring joy and happiness. And Dr. Hopp actually said it quickly just a moment ago, it's intimacy.
Mm-hmm.
When you learn the gift of intimacy,
wow,
you'll understand how to release that pain and move to a higher level, the joy of living, because we are to be in heavenly places right now.
Wow.
Not in heaven, but
eternity
right here.
Eternity starts right now.
It starts right now.
Eternal life doesn't begin when we go to heaven.
No,
it starts right now. And now God wants us to maximize the full potential of it.
Yes.
Minister Keith, you want to throw anything out before we end the session?
Well, yes. One of the things that comes to my mind is that it's so important that you marry the right person.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you marry who God has intended you to be with and you have a healthy relationship, not only will it bring healing to you and your spouse, but in your marriage bed, you won't have the conflicts and the issues that you normally would if, you know, bringing all these other people with you into the bedroom. And many times you can't get intimate with your wife or with your husband because of all these other people crowding around in the bed, like you said one time, who is this?
Yeah.
You know, who's this person over here?
Yeah,
and there's not room enough for that man and that woman to connect. So, you know, making sure that you understand that the gift of sex it was intended to be released in marriage is so critical if you're going to see it manifested in a healthy way.
Well, God bless you, saints. Remember that today is a great day. It's the day the Lord has made for you to receive not just forgiveness, but power to overcome your sexual sins. Visit our website at voiceofdestiny.org. That's voiceofdestiny.org, where you can get information about how you can strengthen this part of your life, and also to access the link for Dr. Dude's website, where you can get the book and the events that he's teaching and the radio show that he does on this subject. You guys got to understand that there's great things happening in the kingdom, and it's starting right now. God bless.
You've been listening to the Voice of Destiny Show with your host, Pastor Daniel Hupp. Remember, kingdom information and revelation is power to be, do, and have everything God has destined for you. For more information about Voice of Destiny or to order copies of today's program, visit voiceofdestiny.org. That's voiceofdestiny.org. And become a fan on Facebook or follow us at Twitter under the name of The VOD Show.